Our scripture lesson this morning is going to be from Genesis chapter 12. That's found on page 11 in your pew Bible. It's my pleasure to teach us through Genesis chapter 12 today. And then next week, Genesis chapter 13. You might wonder, why are we still in Genesis? I thought we spent a year learning Genesis. Well, now that you've mastered the book of Genesis, I thought it might be good for us to go back and continually apply the message of Genesis, that God uses servants to save his people. God has anointed Abram to save his people. And Skip's message last week, of course, illustrated that through Joseph's life at the end of the book of Genesis. So Genesis chapter 12, I'll be reading the first 9 verses, and then we'll go to Galatians chapter 3. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and there they arrived. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills of Bethel and pitched his tent, which Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward Negev. And then in Galatians chapter 3, which is found on page 1129 in your pew Bibles, Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. Paul here explaining, "Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Since this is July 4th weekend, and a number of you I know are going to enjoy fireworks tonight, if you didn't enjoy fireworks last night, I thought I would tell you a story. I was 14 years old in Phoenix, Arizona, seated in the middle of a lettuce field with my best friend testing fireworks. And we had worked our way through the Black Cats and were now going to work with M80s. We felt that we had graduated. In fact, they no longer manufacture M80s, probably for the reason I'm about to tell you. We thought we would have a contest, and kids, this is totally inappropriate, and I never expect you to do this at home. This was your poor, foolish pastor many years ago. And I could find M80s, I might still try it. But we decided that what we would do is we would see who could hold on to the M80 the longest before we threw it. Now, an M80 is basically a quarter stick of dynamite, okay? And so we were looking at the fuses, and I don't know who made or who designed M80s, but it's a bad design because you've got a lot of powder and a very short fuse. It's kind of like a teenager, really, when you think about it. But you've got this M80, and so Kurt went first, and I lit the M80, and he kind of waited for the fuse to go down, and then he fired it, and boom! And so I'm thinking, well, all I have to do is hold on to it longer than he did, and I went. So I kind of get my hand in the throwing position, and he lights it, and I look back and I see, and the fuse just went boom. Every once in a while that happens, so kids, you should never try this. But every once in a while that happens, and the fuse just went boom. And I was afraid to look at my hand. I thought for sure maybe I'd blown off a couple fingers. I don't know. It was totally numb. It was just tingling and numb. And just slowly I brought my hand up and looked, and there it was. It was all together. I was so happy that it was still there. Now you might be thinking, you know, Tinsley, this is July 4th. I could see why you'd tell that story. But what in the world's it got to do with Genesis 12 and Galatians 3? Well, when you hold on to something that was meant to be thrown, there is a great danger. And I am going to propose to you that Genesis chapter 12 is God blessing Abram so that he would be a blessing to others. In other words, the reason God blessed Abram is so that he could bless others. If we do not give the blessing to others that God has intended to move through us like a conduit, I believe our spirits become numb. We become numb to the gospel. We are constantly looking at ourselves, wondering, is Christ even here? So we have a very simple message this morning. God blessed Abram, that Abram would bless others. Now I'm going to illustrate that in two particular ways. First of all, God blessed Abram with a lot of stuff. He gave him possessions. He gave him position. He gave him authority. He made him a great nation. He also blessed Abram with an intimate relationship with the creator of the universe. And he blessed him with those things so that he would be a blessing to others. Now, let's think a little bit about the whole scenario of God coming to bless Abram. God initiates this relationship. He comes to Abram, and anytime someone comes to bless you, you always ask yourself the question, why? Why is this person coming toward me? Why is this person calling me tonight from MCI or ATT or all these places? Why are they calling me tonight to bless me with this wonderful deal? You're just a little, right? You've been around the block a few times. You didn't just fall up the turnip truck last night. You know. I wonder what Abram was thinking when God came to bless him. I wonder if he was thinking, I'm a really neat guy. I could see why you would want to bless me. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 7 gives us a little help in this. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7 says, "The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for in fact you were the fewest of all peoples. But God set his affection on you because the Lord loved you, and he kept his oath." God blesses his people because he loves his people, and because he's faithful to the oath that he's made. And this is one of the oaths we're looking at, an oath that he made to Abram. Now, I would like to make three subpoints underneath this whole idea that God blesses Abram with stuff. First of all, why did he bless him with stuff? He blessed him with stuff so he could enjoy it. God gives his people stuff, possessions, position, opportunities, so we can enjoy it. It is okay to enjoy what God has given you. The danger is when we begin to think, God has given me this stuff because I'm really a neat person. Isn't God smart? And I've got all this stuff and now it's mine. But it's okay to enjoy the things God has given you as long as you always attribute the source to God's grace. God has given me this stuff. I can have fun with it. A number of us are going to have either had parties or going to have parties. We're going to celebrate. And some of the things that with which we're going to celebrate are like jet skis and barbecue grills and too much food and a lot of friends. It's okay to enjoy all of that. And it's okay for Abram to enjoy all the position and privilege. In verse 5, you notice it says, he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated. And I don't know if a camel can pull a U-Haul, but he's got this stuff, and they're all going. He didn't leave it. He didn't say, you know, God gave me all this neat stuff, and I'm just going to leave it here. You know, maybe God will enjoy it in between these sand dunes, and I'll just start over. No, he took all of his stuff, and he took all the souls. The NIV translates it the people or the servants. It's the Hebrew word for soul. All the souls God had given him, he took them with so they could travel together and they could enjoy the journey. God in his kindness does this. He allows us to enjoy. You know, you might be out on a golf course and you might find yourself to be in the middle of the fairway. I would encourage you to stop and enjoy that. You might even say, how did I get here? There have been times on the course I've noticed shrubbery that I've never noticed before. I'm out with a 5-iron poking through. This is a dense shrub. God made this shrub. And you can enjoy what God has given you. Brother and sisters in Christ, we're free to enjoy what he's given us. Enjoy it. You don't have to feel guilty. I have all this stuff. Oh, I have all this stuff. If it doesn't possess you, you enjoy it. If it possesses you, it's as if it were a curse. Enjoy what God gives you. Secondly, I want to encourage you to be thankful for what God gives you. You might just at this very moment stop and think, okay, Lord, in the midst of this service, I'm just going to thank you for everything you've given me. You will not be able to finish before I finish. Now, that gives some of you hope. But I mean because of the amount God has given us. Begin to sift through your relationships. Begin to sift through the blessings God has given you. You're so thankful. You could just thank God. Isn't it wonderful when our children thank us? Just when they just say, oh, thanks, Mom. Thanks for mundane things. Not when maybe they turn 30 and you get them a car, but when just normal, mundane things. You know, I was at the Byron Nelson not too long ago, and I was standing right by the tee box. It was a Thursday and in the afternoon, and I was right there by the edge of the tee box, and Phil Mickelson hit his tee shot. And then he handed his club to his caddy. And the caddy put the head, as the caddy was putting the head cover on it, Phil said, thank you very much. How many times do you think Mickelson has handled a club to his caddy? And he's paying the guy to do it, by the way. And he said, thank you very much. Very little. But we are gentlemen and ladies, at all times of our lives, whether we're in the company of only men or ladies and men, at every moment we should be thankful. If Phil can be thankful for that, how much more still can we be thankful for all that God has given to us? So Abram was to be thankful. And you notice if you follow along in the text, we find that it says that he built an altar in verse 8. He traveled on, he pitched his tent, and he built an altar to the name of the Lord. He was thankful to God for all that God had given him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to encourage you, enjoy what God has given you. And I want to encourage you to be thankful for what God has given you. you can enjoy all that he's done for you. You can enjoy possessions, position, privileges. Just be thankful. Sometimes we say grace as kind of an add-on rather than saying grace all day long. I'll never forget one Thanksgiving when I was a little boy. Our family gathered together, and so because we had more relatives than usual, we were having a larger fight than usual. And I don't know what your holidays were like growing up, but I guess we didn't have enough arguments among the seven of us, so we brought the extended family in. And we were all arguing. And I remember my mother and father were arguing. And my aunt and uncle were arguing. And I was fighting with my big brothers. And it was Thanksgiving. And in the midst of all this, the turkey came out of the oven. So my mother said, oh, ding, 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 ding. Let's say grace. It was like, and I wasn't even a believer then, but it was like some sort of cultural car wreck. It was like, why do we do this? Why do we argue and fight all the time? And then, the turkey's out, so we say grace. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you know what? I just want to charge you with the freedom of saying grace all day long. I really believe that's part of what Paul was getting at when he said, pray without ceasing. Because we're thankful. And we enjoy God. We say grace all day long. But there's another aspect that we must think about when we think about the blessings that Abram had. He was blessed so that he would be a blessing. Now that really, as Emeril Lagasse would say, that kicks it up a notch. That is an entirely new perspective. God has blessed us so that we enjoy and we're to be thankful. But he's blessed us so we can bless others. The concept of hoarding all that God has given us is foreign to the Bible. You know what, folks? We have a lot of stuff. And it's one thing to kind of like feel guilty about that. Oh, I've got all this stuff. I've got all this stuff. Enjoy your stuff. Thank God for your stuff. And give your stuff away. Let other people use your stuff. Now, what happens here is that God has so worked in Abram's heart that materialism is not his God. You know, really, materialism is a pretty good God. I mean, a number of us have worshipped and loved the God of materialism for years. There's a certain satisfaction to worshiping that God. Seems to be a certain degree of fulfillment in worshiping that God. Isn't it delightful that it cannot bring full satisfaction to our souls? God in his kindness has moved us past worshiping stuff to worshiping the Creator. And that's really the second point of this message. God blessed Abram with stuff, but he blessed him with a beautiful personal relationship. In Galatians 3, it speaks of being a child of God by believing in God through faith, through the work of Christ. God lifts us above the distractions and temptations and fulfillment of materialism, and he brings us into an intimate relationship with himself. And that and only that can satisfy our souls. God burns our heart with a new CD. Okay, I don't know if everybody knows this. You can make your own CDs now, okay? You buy a CD burner. I know a lot of you know this. Some of you don't. And when I say CD, I don't mean like a savings vehicle. I mean it's something you put in a... Remember how we had cassette tapes? And you could put one cassette tape in and then you could duplicate it. You can do that with a CD now. It's called burning CDs. I was out to dinner, Nance and I and some friends, and one of the ladies was telling a story on herself. She has a high school son, and she said the phone rang at about midnight the other night. And it was my son. And she said, well, what do you want, knowing he wants to extend his curfew? And she says, well, how late do you want to stay out? And he says, 12:30. And she says, oh, so what are you going to be doing? And he goes, we're burning CDs. Now, in her mind, she thought the Holy Spirit had gotten a hold of him. And they're going to pile up all these CDs. And it was after the Florida trip, after our youth ministry, and God Works on Retreats. And she thought that maybe he and all of his friends were out in the driveway with this pile of bad music. And she said, sweetheart, you could just burn CDs all night. Woo! I mean, we've all been there, right? God initiates a relationship in such a way that he takes the CD of our heart, if you will, and he reburns it. He burns it with something that supersedes stuff. And that's why so many of us could lose all of our stuff and we'd be okay. But if we lost the Lord and had all of our stuff, we would be destitute. Because our relationship with God is so much more. So much more. And we're to enjoy our relationship with God. You know, I'm mindful of my son was hit by a car October 16th, 1998. I was on my way home from a wedding rehearsal, and I got home and I started to take off my suit, and there was a knock at the door. I went to the door and a lady said, are you Tim Tinsley? I said, yes. And she said, your son's been hit by a car. He's in the street at Lover's Lane. Oh, it's almost like you say, oh God, would you just come upon me and carry me to the hospital? So I drove, and the traffic's all backed up, and it was raining, and I ran to the corner of Westchester and Lover's Lane, and I saw the lights of the ambulance disappearing under the tollway. And immediately I thought two things. Oh, I've missed him. And then I thought, they're taking him to Parkland. There's a couple different hospitals you could take your child to if your child's hurt. While Parkland is a magnificent facility staffed by excellent doctors and nurses, you do not want your child to go to Parkland because that means there's a big problem. So I made it over to Parkland, and there stood Nancy. And I ran up and we hugged and we prayed and we thought, oh God, are you taking our son? And at that moment, even as we were praying, I remember confessing to the Lord how wrongfully I had been looking at my son. I have been thankful for my son, but not in a way that God wanted me to be thankful for my son. I was thankful for him in that, well, he's come this far and he's going to keep going. Oh, Lord, thank you that Carter is 15 and he's going to go on. And Lord, I pray, and all the thoughts of a daddy for his boy were in my mind. And all of a sudden I thought, oh, God, thank you for the years you've given me this boy. Not knowing that I would have any more days. Some of you in our congregation, you've lost loved ones. You've lost a spouse or a child. You know much more than I do. And even so, I try to speak tenderly to you. You know the depth of how many times you look back and you've come to the point where you're thankful. Oh, God, thank you that we had her for this many years or this many days. Oh God, thank you. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, even now in the midst of this message, thank God for the intimate relationship you have with Jesus Christ. He has blessed you with this relationship in Christ. Enjoy Him. What if this were the last day you were to enjoy your relationship with the Lord? Enjoy. Do you know our walk with Christ is, it's hard for me to make this transition, but I'll do it. It's almost like our faith in Christ is like gravy. Gravy is like one of man's favorite foods, of course, but gravy, when it's just out of the pan, it's hot and it's bubbling and it's smooth, and you just can't wait to pour it across your roast beef or whatever you're going to put it on your potatoes. But if you leave gravy alone, it gets like gelatin. Greasy gelatin. And you're not thinking, give me a scoop of that. You're thinking, I'll pass. In our relationship with the Lord, as we enjoy Him, as we thank Him, it keeps us warm. It keeps us smooth. It allows us to be a blessing to others. Whether you've got a lot or you've got a little, be thankful for it. Because if you're not thankful for a little, what are you saying to God? I'm not even thankful for this. Don't give me any more. I won't be thankful for that either. It's almost like I just want stuff. I don't want you. Enjoy the Lord. And if you've got a lot of stuff, and if you've had a long, long, long relationship with God, lean back in your lazy boy or in your couch or in your lounge this afternoon and say, oh God, thank you. I've known you for years. I love you. You are the delight of my soul. Nothing can quench the joy I have in this relationship through Jesus Christ. And then the last thought I want to have, I just want to leave in your mind is the idea of we're to share this with others. God has blessed us with stuff and this intimate relationship to share with others. I remember one of our first church picnics. It was a very, very hot afternoon, and we had a bunch of iced tea in those big coolers. And I went to get, and some of them were empty. And then I went over, and there was this one little boy, and he had brought a mug from home. And he was standing, kind of reaching up to the cooler, pushing the little button there to fill his mug. And the mug was being filled, and then it just was overflowing. And kind of wasting the tea. And I needed some tea, and I saw this little guy, and I didn't see his parents, and knowing that I've taken vows when this kid was baptized to help raise the child, that this was an opportunity to experience the covenantal community for this lad. And so I went to the little guy, I said, hey, you got enough there? And he just kind of looked at me like, what or who do you think you are? And so he just kind of kept going, and I'm like, hey, I want to get some of that. And he's, kind of like, well, when I'm done. And he just keeps at it. And so I just took my cup, and I put it underneath his cup. And it just filled up my cup. Now, that little guy didn't know what I knew. I knew the women in the church had made enough tea for the Russian army. Okay, so I knew we had enough. He's thinking, this is it. I got to fill this bad boy up, and I'm not leaving it, okay? I knew there was a limitless source. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to say to you this morning, God blessed Abram that he would be a blessing, and the source hasn't ended. It was thousands of years ago. And he has blessed us that we'd be a blessing to others. Do not ever be afraid to take a risk and to be a blessing to someone else, to help them physically, to help them financially, to help them spiritually. In fact, if the bottom line be known, the Hebrew verb in Genesis chapter 12 is actually an imperative. He says, you will be a blessing. In other words, I've given you this stuff, and I've given you this relationship with me so that you would give it away. So, brothers and sisters, it's okay to be like that little boy. You can stand under the fountain of grace and you can soak all you want. But know that God is doing this because He loves you. He has compassion on His people. And know that He is blessing us that we would be a blessing to others. He's a great God. And He loves His people. And He works in His people. And we're to enjoy. And we're to be thankful. But He works through His people. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you're free to enjoy what God's given you, to thank Him for what He's given you, and to share what He's given you to all the people of all the nations. They don't have to look like us. They don't have to speak our language. They don't have to live where we live. All the people of the earth, God has blessed us that we might bless them. How could we withhold the blessing of the work and benefits of our Lord Jesus Christ from anyone? He has blessed us that we would be a blessing.